Good morning, everybody. We are starting our study through 1 John. We'll do 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles of John the Apostle. We're just going to look at the first four verses today, kind of get an introduction to the book. In the first four verses, John, he wants to convey something to his readers. He's kind of excited about something. John actually was able to see something and witness something. He actually heard and saw and even touched something that he wanted people to know about. Something that was real, not just a figment of his imagination, but something that was real. He wanted people to know about. I thought it'd be good. He was kind of excited about it. I thought it'd be good maybe to start today with talking about maybe is there something that maybe I've done that I witnessed that maybe you guys would be amazed at. And maybe it's something you guys have done that others would be amazed at. Have you seen something special or met someone that people would be amazed that you did? Or you went somewhere and actually physically were there, an amazing thing. I thought long about it. The only thing I could come up with is recently I passed an amazingly large kidney stone. And it is amazing, truly remarkable, everybody. And people don't seem as amazed as I was about it, but my doctor and nurse really were quite amazed. So I wonder, maybe you guys have some better examples than that. Is there anybody here that you've actually witnessed something that people would be amazed at? Maybe you met someone or went to a certain place, and people would be like, wow, that's really neat that you did that. Anybody have anything like that? It's got to be something. Somebody must have done something or met someone or went somewhere or witnessed something. Any of you guys have done anything like that? Anything interesting? No one here has ever done anything interesting. Is there a hand up? You get to talk into that, yes.
I was thinking about the time when my mom was here and we took her up to Mount St. Helens. Shortly after, well, it was probably a couple of months, but we were visiting and talking and enjoying the drive. It was a beautiful day, so green and beautiful. And as we advanced up toward the mountain, we turned one curve, and all three of us just shut our mouths because we were in such awe of the power of that explosion. Seeing all those trees, acres and acres and acres of trees just laying flat. And it just brings you to your knees, the power of God. And wow. I was always amazed by that.
Yeah.
It shut my mom's mouth, too.
Wow.
All right. An amazing thing. You saw firsthand. It was real. You actually saw it. Anyone else? Something? Yeah.
You know, you start to do something and then you may have questions about it. When we moved out here many years ago, along the road we stopped for gas. And there was a big motorhome off to the side. I was filling up the gas tank and a fella comes over and chats with me for a little bit, an older guy. And went back to his motorhome and never thought anything about it. A minute later he comes back and he hands me a $20 bill. And he says, I talked with my wife, and the Lord wanted us to give this to you. Confirmation that we were on the right trip in the right place.
All right. That was a real event that really happened there. Anyone else? Something interesting, amazing that you've done or seen or witnessed?
When I was in high school, I witnessed to my friend, and she became a Christian, and she went from darkness to light, and it was amazing.
Amen. One of the most amazing miracles that can happen there. All right. I see a hand up right here.
I just want to say that watching my grandson come out of the brain aneurysm that he had, he's 53 years old, and the recovery of it was amazing.
All right.
He is really doing well. He is driving his truck now.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an amazing thing to watch.
Great. These are real events, real people talking about real things that really happened, not just weird, mystical, religious things, but real physical things that happen. And that's what John's going to try to convey here. I did think of one other thing myself that you might find pretty neat. I went to a science training once a while ago, and NASA was doing an interesting thing there. I thought that'll be cool to be a part of that. And little did I know that we were going to be trained on how to use moon rocks, the rocks from the moon, in our own classrooms. And as part of the thing, I held the rocks from the moon, almost all of them that were brought back. I held them in my hands, the rocks from the moon. There's no worth. They have no money worth because they're worth more than any money amount, is what they say. And I held them in my hand. It was pretty cool. Not only that, I'm actually cleared to actually borrow them at some point. I would never do that because if I lost them, I think I would have to go to jail forever, but or something. But that's a pretty amazing thing. I guess I don't need two microphones, do I? So John's going to try to convey something real, a real physical thing that he witnessed, and we're going to take a look at that now. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So this book is written by John, the Apostle John. He actually doesn't name himself in the book, which is interesting, and he actually doesn't name who he's writing to. But it's very clear that it's John, no doubt about that, by many of the things that he says here. And it does seem to be written to Christians, to people who already believe in Jesus Christ, and he wants to draw them into a closer fellowship with Christ and with each other. It was written, he probably was in Ephesus at the time, a leader of the church that he was in, and actually he would be a leader, the apostle leader of many churches all around. He was kind of known as a father figure to many of the people all around. And this letter goes right along with that. He talks about people like they're his little children, and not in a bad way at all, in a wonderful, great way. He loves his little children, and he wants them to succeed and have joy and know Christ. He probably, as he was writing this, he probably was the last apostle alive at the time, which is interesting, especially how he talks about here, having seen and been close to Jesus, one of the last people around that were actually with him during the entire ministry. One commentary said this whole book is intensely practical. I thought that was interesting. There's a lot of practical things that we're going to see in here. When we went through the book of Daniel, there's very practical things, but a lot of deep things too, and then prophecy, and you have to put together a lot of things, and it's great. But this seems to be more simple. Just there's a great practicality. I think how we apply these things is pretty clear as we go through each section. Also, someone said this book is full of deep spiritual truths, but they're written in a very simple way, a simple way that many people can understand, even though they're very deep spiritual truths. That's a great thing. I think Jesus did that as well. He talked in ways that people could understand, yet the stuff that he said was amazingly deep. So here we are in 1 John. He's trying to explain something. What was from the beginning? He starts out talking about something, and he doesn't just come out and say what it is. He wants to build it up. He wants to come at it from a different way. What was from the beginning? Well, what's he talking about? Well, it was something that was from the beginning. What beginning is he talking about? He doesn't say, does he? He just says what was from the beginning. So what he's talking about here is not a new thing. He doesn't say this is the new thing, forget everything else. He says, this is the same thing I'm talking about that was from the beginning. From the beginning of his ministry, maybe from the very beginning of time, either way, it was from the beginning. This is not a new, different thing. This was from the beginning. What we have heard, he heard something. He physically heard something. His ears picked up something, and he heard something. What we have seen with our eyes, he saw something. He physically saw something, not just spiritually or mystically or something. He saw something with his own eyes. Notice it says we. So he was a witness, but he was one of many witnesses. We have seen. We've seen with our eyes what we have looked at. What we have looked at. Doesn't that sound similar to seeing and looking? Well, when you see something, you physically look around. I'm seeing a lot of things right now. But maybe I see something and I go and I look at it really carefully. So he saw something and he also looked at it closely, carefully, studied it, a deep look at. What we have looked at and touched with our hands. He's talking about something physical. He wants the people reading this to know, I am not just talking about some weird mystical religious thing. I am talking about a physical thing. I have physically touched this thing. What I touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The word of life. He's talking about the word of life. Now, what is that? That seems like a concept, kind of an idea, a spiritual thing, right? The word of life. And surely it is. But wait a minute. He said he touched the word of life. How do you touch the word of life? He heard, he saw with his eyes the word of life. What is he talking about here? How do you touch and see the word of life? Well, many of you already know that he is talking about a person, isn't he? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted people to know that this guy was real. Jesus was not just some idea, not just something made up by people or anything like that. He was a real person, but much more than that as well. Not only just a person, he was the very word of life. And he's trying to do everything he can to show people that Jesus was real. Remember, he's the last apostle alive at the time, one of the last people who physically were with Jesus. So he really wanted to know, and he wanted to write down and get this written down and recorded, that he did see him. He's testifying that Jesus was real, a real person who walked on this real earth. And how do you know if someone's real? Well, there's some ways you can test it. He tested if Jesus was real. He heard him. He saw him. He touched him. You know what? You guys, you're sitting in a pew there, and there's people next to you. Look at that person next to you. Is that a real person? I don't know. Maybe that's just a figment of your imagination. How would you test if that's a real person? Well, what does he say? He says we heard him. I would like you to turn to someone next to you and just talk. Say, hi, how are you doing? And you answer back. Go ahead, talk. Okay. Stop talking. So there's one test. You just tested if that was a real person. You talked to them. Okay. And by the way, kids, I hope you're listening. You're right in on this too. What we have heard, what we've seen, okay, and looked at. I want you to look at the person next to you. Look carefully at the person next to you. Are they really there? Okay, stop looking. You have heard. You have looked at. And now, touch. Don't hurt, but see if they're really there. Poke them a little bit. Are they really there? They're there. Okay. Did anybody find that they weren't really there? That's how you test. That's how you test if something's really there, right? You use your senses. You listen. You talk to the person. Actually, talking and hearing actually is a really big deal because that means a lot's going on and that's a real person. You see, you look at, and you touch. He said, I've done these things, and you know what, everybody? Jesus is real. He was a real person. I talked to him. And I wonder if John, as the years went by, and he thought more and more about that, he thought, oh, what an amazing thing. I saw him. I talked to him. I spent time with him. You know, I leaned on him while we were eating dinner. You know, I talked to him about this and that. I wonder if he regretted that he didn't talk more with him. I don't know. Probably had lots, all sorts of different thoughts But as he learned more and more about who Jesus was and is, and he thought, man, and I was with him. I was one of his close friends. John, it seems like in the Gospels that John was one of the three that were closer to him, and maybe he might have been the closest one to Jesus of all of them, the one that Jesus loved. He heard him, he saw him, he looked at him, he touched him concerning the word of life. The word of life, an amazing thing. The word of life was here in the flesh, and I saw him. Verse 2. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. The life was manifested to us. Again, life. When I say the word life, do you think of a physical thing you can touch? Life is more of an idea, right? An idea. An eternal life is, you know, I think of a timeline, and I think of a big thing, and it is. Life is a thing like that. But he said life was manifested. Manifested means became a physical thing, and we saw it. We saw life itself. And who is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus. Remember, Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the life. And John says, I saw him. We saw the life. By the way, here you might notice in these introductory verses, they're very similar to the introduction to the Gospel of John, where John, remember how he started the Gospel of John? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, well, it's the same thing he says here in 1 John. And is he talking about the Word? He's talking about the Word of life here. And in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. Very similar. A lot of similarities between that and this book. One difference in the Gospel of John, he actually says clearly later on in the book that the Gospel was written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have life in his name. He wanted to prove in the Gospel that Jesus really was who he said he was, the Christ, and that people would believe. It was an evangelistic book for people who did not believe yet, but they could believe based on that. 1 John isn't going to be like that. It's going to be written to people who already do believe, and he's going to focus on having a close fellowship with God and with each other. Now that you're a Christian, he's going to talk more about that and the things that Jesus said. So the life was manifested. And I might say, too, that reminds me back in John 1 where it says the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The life was manifested. Very similar idea here. We have seen and testify. Once again, he talks about seeing him. And he says, I will go on record. I testify that I saw him. He's real, a real person. Amazingly, God in the flesh, and I saw him. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father. Jesus was with the Father at one time, and then he became manifested here on earth. And we see and we testify to you, which was with the Father and manifested to us. With the Father, came down and shone to him. He says to us, not just me, to us, probably meaning the apostles, but really a lot of people saw him and could testify that he was real. To all those people, this was real. You know, it says we touched with our hands back in verse 1. Many people did. They even touched him with their hands. But that was a real big deal after his resurrection. Remember when he rose from the dead and some believed, some weren't so sure. And what did Jesus say to them? Go ahead and touch me. I'm not a ghost. And at one point he was hungry and he wanted some food to eat as well. He was showing that he really, truly was a physical person alive from the dead. We proclaim to you the eternal life. Eternal life, again, is another big concept. It's life. He's talking about life here, But he's talking about it interchangeably with Jesus. Jesus is the eternal life that was with the Father and manifested to us. Manifest means we see it. We see the life, the eternal life. It's an amazing concept. It's a physical thing he's talking about, but he's also talking about big spiritual realities that seem to not be physical, and he's putting them all together in Jesus Christ. We've seen eternal life, and it was manifested to us, and we testify about it. Verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. What we have seen and heard. What was on John's mind when he was writing this? I mean, is he not making it clear? How many times has he talked about seeing Jesus now? Many times. He just wanted everyone to know beyond any doubt. Do you realize that John saw him? Everybody, John would say, I saw him. I was there. I touched him. He's real. Please understand that. Part of the reason he's probably focusing on this so much is there was a lot of false teaching that was slipping into the churches at the time. And as we go through 1 John, we'll take a look at that. And a lot of false teaching, usually when it comes to Jesus, the false teaching, usually it's all about Jesus, that maybe he didn't actually come. Maybe he wasn't real. Maybe he was just an angel. Maybe he was this or that. Well, John wants everyone to know he was real. He was real, and I testify. I was there in front of him. I talked to him. He's real. And that alone might get rid of a lot of that false teaching. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. John wanted people to know about this. You know, when you meet the eternal life, God in the flesh, you don't want to keep that to yourself. And he wanted to share that with everybody. So that you too may have fellowship with us. So John and the us again, the apostles, the others who believed, all those maybe who believed and didn't see him but yet still believe, he said you can have fellowship with us as you learn about Jesus Christ. What would bring him into fellowship? Well, it's focusing on Jesus Christ, who he was, that he really was the eternal life, the word of life sent from the Father, who was there from the beginning. You believe in him, we believe in him too, we can have fellowship with each other, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, the most amazing part of this fellowship is not just that we can have fellowship with each other, but believe it or not, you can actually have fellowship with God himself. God himself, the creator of the universe, the king of all kings, the king of the universe, you can have fellowship with him. The word for fellowship is koinonia here, a strong word for fellowship that means really getting to know each other and being friends and spending time together. You can be friends with God. God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You can be friends with God through Jesus Christ because of what he did. And we have fellowship with him too. And all of us together that believe, we can have fellowship together. Koinonia, fellowship together. And was this a big deal to John? He says in verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John already knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew God, and I'm sure that gave him a lot of joy. He had shared that with others. Many people in the church he was with were loving God. I'm sure that gave him a lot of joy. But apparently his joy was not complete. What would make his joy complete? Everybody that he's writing to would understand these things and understand that Jesus is real. He really did live on this earth. He really did die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. He really did rise from the dead. This is real. And as you come to understand that and believe that, that would make John's joy complete to hear of what he would call his children. Believing and following God. and having fellowship with God himself and the fellowship that we can have together too. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. The fellowship, you notice the fellowship is mentioned twice here, and that is going to become a theme in this book. The fellowship that we can have with God, the fellowship that we can have with each other as we all believe together. So, what's John trying to convey in these first few verses of 1 John? Is it clear what he's trying to say? Was Jesus real? Yes, he was. You know, as I was looking at this and thinking about the words that he said here, I just like to think about, I thought about something that I've heard often in science. Being a science teacher, I kind of, you know, in the science world, I've heard many times people say they might reject religion or Christianity or something like that because it's all just based on, you know, things you can't see. You can't see any of this stuff. It's not real. And they said, I reject all that, that spiritual religious stuff, because I prefer something that I can see, that I can touch, that I can, you know, look into, I can test. That's science. And some people might say, I do science because that's real. And you guys, you just have your religious mumbo jumbo that no one can see or test or anything. Well, it's interesting, based on that, and some people say those things, is John being very scientific here? He is. He said, I've tested it, okay? In my laboratory, I have tested. I poked him all over. He's real. All the testing you can do. I did everything you can do. I heard him. He's real as any science person could figure out that a person is real. He is real. So anyway, I find that quite interesting. John being very scientific here. I've seen him, I've looked at him, I've touched him with my own hands. The very word of life. John saw eternal life right in front of him. He saw the word of life, the one that's been there from the very beginning. I do think he's talking about the very beginning of time, the same thing he was talking about in John 1. Jesus has been there from the very beginning, and John says, I saw him. I witnessed him, and I testify that this is him. John wanted it to be clear so people could believe in Jesus Christ. I might ask all of you this morning, you know, we're about 2,000 years later after he wrote this. Do you believe that Jesus was and is real? Is he really a man that walked on this earth? He really talked to people. He did real things. He ate food. Maybe he got headaches sometimes, like the one I had this morning. That really hurt, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder if Jesus ever had this. He was a human being. Do you believe that this is really true? John would say, yes, it really is, and I hope you really do believe this. Do you believe that he lived a perfect life? That John would say that too in the Gospels. Do you believe that he really died on a cross? A real physical wooden cross, and nails were put through him, and he hung on that cross. And the Bible says he did that for you and for me, to take the punishment for our sins. Do you believe it's really true? Or is it just a mythical, weird thing that people talk about? I believe it really physically happened. There was a day and time where he died on a cross. They put his real body in a grave, a real grave, and a real stone was rolled in front of it. And 3 days later, he really came back alive again. And he showed people, he ate food, he said, touch me, I'm alive, I'm not a ghost. Jesus Christ came back alive again. Right in front of people, he ascended up into heaven. He's there today. Do you believe he really physically is there today? You know, he has a real body. That means he really is in a physical place somewhere. I don't know where heaven is exactly, but he's there. He really is there. And because of what he did, he can save anybody who calls on him. Do you believe that's true? I hope you do. If not, maybe you're hearing this for the first time or thinking about it this morning. Well, it is true. John testified. If he was here today, he'd say it's true, 100% true. I'm telling all of you it's true. He really is this person. If you believe in him, believe that you are a sinner and you deserve to be on that cross. But if you believe he lived a perfect life, died on that cross for you, and you ask him to forgive your sins, he will forgive your sins. And you can have fellowship with God. You can be God's friend and become close to him. And as we go through 1 John, he's going to talk about that, that relationship with God. How do we make that better? What should we be doing with that? And what should that look like with the fellowship with all of us too? As you become closer and closer to God, you're going to find you're probably going to come closer and closer to other people that are close to him too. And we have great fellowship together. And just this morning, I was thinking about that. I had a great thought. You know what? John saw him firsthand. Those of you this morning, anyone here actually physically seen him firsthand? Well, no. But I think we can know him really well, spiritually. His Holy Spirit, and there's things he can do to help us to know him. But if you know him as your Savior, will you see him firsthand someday? You will. You're going to get to be just as excited as John was and go, I get to talk to him. I get to hear his voice. I don't know if you should poke him or not, but you can see him. Maybe give him a hug and he will be real, the one who you believed in and they gave you salvation. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that it's real, that he came to earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins. Lord, thank you so much that he took the punishment for our sins and rose from the dead, and that he can save anybody who calls on him. Lord, help us to draw close to you, to have great fellowship with you, Lord. Help us to share this good news with others too, Lord. Many people need to hear about Jesus Christ. And I pray that we'd have great fellowship together, too, as we have closer fellowship with you, Lord. As we go through this book and study it, bring us closer to you, closer to each other. And I pray you do great things in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.